This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. May we open our hearts and minds to your constant presence, O God. May we recognize you in the midst of our hunger and fear. May we see your face in the faces of all around us. May we welcome the truth of your healing touch and eat and drink the sustenance of your miraculous grace, that the world may be transformed. Amen. Please be seated. As most of you know, we have a relationship with Canuga Conference Center in Hendersonville, North Carolina. It's an Episcopal Conference Center, and our children and youth leaders and our youth have been going there for years, and some adults as well, for different programs. And I had the privilege of going last month with our senior high youth group as one of the clergy, and you would have been so proud of St. Joseph's. Life Hymnal was the band, so of course Charles and his band were stellar. But our kids were just great. Some of you that were there know what I mean. Half the variety show were kids from our youth group. They're so getting so used to be able to be leaders in our church. It was really astounding. And while all of that was wonderful and the programs were great, one of the moments that will stand out in my mind the very most was a conversation that I had with a young man. He was probably one of the youngest participants there. He was from another state, and he shall remain anonymous. I don't think any of you know him. He asked if he could talk to me one day, and so we found a place in the chapel, and we sat. And he was very troubled, and he said, "I don't know if I need to do a confession." And so I said, "Well, why don't we just talk about whatever it is, and we'll figure that out together?" And so he said, okay. So he sat in silence for a little while, and then he said that when he went on an urban adventure, that something happened. Now, urban adventure, for those of you that don't know, is a weekend of our senior high do in a big city. It's all over it's a program called Journey to Adulthood that many churches use, and this young man's church used it just like we do. And the youth go to a city, and they're on their own. They've got to navigate their way there and all around the city, and there are different checkpoints that they find with their leaders, and they spend the night usually in parish halls of churches. So it's really a faith development and emotional development weekend for them. This young man was in this city, and he said, "I didn't do anything." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "There were homeless people there, and one man had a sign that he was hungry, and we walked around him. We all did. And I didn't do anything for him." And his lip began to quiver, and his eyes filled up with tears. And he looked in my eyes, and he said, "Do you think God will ever forgive me?" There's a reason Jesus said, "A little child shall lead them." I reassured him that, of course, God forgives us and that he really had done nothing wrong, that his intent to help that man and to pray for him and all of them was something. And that he then looked at me, he said, "But what do I do now?" And I said, "Well, perhaps when you get home, you could get involved in some kind of a program for a food pantry or a place that helps the homeless." And he seemed to feel a little bit better, and he took a deep breath, and he actually cried a little bit, and I just sat with him in the silence for a while, and then he thanked me, and we prayed for the homeless and for the hungry and for him, and that was our time. As we get older, issues that seem insurmountable, like world hunger, like homelessness, like the violence that we hear about, we either do one of three things. We either just don't care, or we develop such thick skin so we don't have to really think about it because it's too painful to think about and we feel helpless, or we do some of the things that this young man and I were talking about. We get involved in some way. We support some major effort to fight the major issues in our world. We act legislatively, and we pray, which is the first thing. Not just, oh, well, there's nothing else to do, so we'll pray. No, it's the opposite. The prayer and the connection with God in our world and with the big issues especially is foundational. It's just foundational. There are ways in which God works with us in our world that is miraculous. And if you spend a little time in our stories today, it's not long before you start thinking about hunger. You start thinking about these people who long to be with Jesus so much that they would follow him without even taking a lunch with them. And you also begin to wonder about your own longing, your own hunger, your own fears. Now, the miracle skeptics will quickly try to discount any miracles of God. I think when I preached on this 3 years ago, I brought in my father's little Thomas Jefferson Bible that he had purchased. Some of you might be familiar. Thomas Jefferson took a Bible, and he cut out everything in the Bible that you couldn't prove in a court of law. And so it was basically the moral teachings of Jesus, and that's what he thought was at least something that he could hold on to. Well, we do need that, of course. We need the miracles as well. So the skeptics will tell you, well, the feeding of the 5,000, which was really probably 15,000 because they didn't count the women and children, that was probably because everybody noticed that this little boy was giving of himself, and so they all then figured they could share their lunches too, and everybody ate. Maybe. They'll say about Jesus walking on the water that the Greek word epi, which means on, can also mean by in Greek. So maybe Jesus was walking by the water. They had rowed for 3 or 4 miles, and maybe that Jesus was just by the water, not really on the water. About healings today, we know in this church we've had miraculous, spontaneous healings that the doctors can't explain. And the skeptics will say, well, that's just because there's some unusual immune response that we haven't discovered yet. When we discount the miraculous, we discount the opportunity for the humble realization of relying on something greater than ourselves, greater than just us. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. People say, oh, well, isn't that just a crutch? And I'll say, yeah, you bet. I need that crutch. I need that support. I need that foundation and that faith in something greater than me. Can't imagine that you wouldn't. We need it to be able to resist situations like happened with David in our first reading. He gave in to his own personal lust and power in seeing Bathsheba, and then followed through with that with murder. Murdered his lover's husband so that he wouldn't be able to find out and he could have her for himself. We need to be able to resist temptation, and that takes a power greater than ourselves frequently. And like we heard in Ephesians, the God of this understanding can do greater things than we can ever ask or imagine. Greater things in and through us and in and through our efforts in the world. I think there's one way that God has worked in and through people, whether you call it that or not, through the Millennium Development Goals. As most of you know, we pray for the accomplishment of the Millennium Development Goals in our prayers of the people every single week in this church. And it's because the presiding bishop asked that we make it a focal point in the Episcopal Church. And if you aren't familiar with what the Millennium Development Goals are, they were established in the year 2000 by the United Nations, and there were 8 goals. And the end point of those goals was 15 years, which is this year, 2015. They just came out with the report of the accomplishments. It's now online. It's all over the web. And the beginning of it is a great read. You see the charts and you see what the accomplishments have been. And there are 8 goals. And the very first one has to do with our topic today about hunger. The goal was to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger, and there were three target points underneath it. Well, the third target point was to cut in half the people who are undernourished in the world. Undernourished, and they had other ways of measuring hunger. And the statistics, what happened was that it went from the proportion of 23.3% to 12.9%. It's almost half. We almost did it. And I started to say they, but it's really we as a group. If you have contributed canned goods every week in our baskets that we bring up, if you've done work in any way with soup kitchens, if you've contributed to UNICEF, if you've contributed to any of these major organizations that feed the poor, like Food for the Poor that we do as a church, we are helping that effort. So now, in the foreword, it says that this specific target now, all that has been reached, and there have been many, many of the goals that were reached. I want to read to you exactly what it said in the foreword. It says, significant progress has been made across all goals, and the global efforts to achieve the MDGs have saved the lives of millions and improved conditions for many more around the world. The report also acknowledges uneven progress and shortfalls in many areas which need to be addressed. And now the new goals are called the Sustainable Development Goals for the next 15 years to carry on the good work that has already begun. It's wonderful. Miraculous, you might say. Miraculous, you might say. And yet, achieving goals might be a great thing, but what God, I think, is saying to us through Jesus Christ in the gospel today is about right now. Not so much the goal, but the process, our intention in the moment, like the young man I was talking to at Canuga, our perspective about how things are. When we do the Lord's Prayer, right, we pray on earth, as thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right now on earth. And Jesus taught us to pray this prayer not by saying, give me this day my daily bread. We don't say that. We say, give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for all. Jesus was all about the body of Christ. I got a little comeuppance in perspective this week at the trivia night on Thursday night. Those of you that were there, we had a great time raising some money for the pilgrims that are going to go to Scotland next summer. So I walk in the door and I paid my $10, and they had a raffle of a cake on the table, and that you could buy a raffle ticket for the cake. Well, I don't like cake. It looks like a regular birthday cake. I don't like it. The chocolate frosting, maybe, but not the cake. So I didn't buy a raffle ticket. And I sat down, and we began to play and was having a good time. Well, toward the end of the evening, right before the raffle, Deborah came around with a basket and saying, last call for raffle tickets. So I wanted to support the youth some more, so I bought a raffle ticket. And guess what? I won the cake. So then I said, I really don't like cake. Would anybody like the cake? And one of our youth raised their hand and said, I'll take it. And so I gave it to him. And then several people from my table said, what if we cut it and share it with everybody? Never crossed my mind. What a concept, right? And that's what I'm talking about. These tiny little perspectives that seem like they're not a big deal grow and grow and grow and grow into world occurrences. It matters. Our everyday perspective and prayer and way of being. And when we aren't that way, when we want to just keep our possessions out of a fear of lack. I mean, think about our refrigerators. How many of your refrigerators are crammed to the brim, right? You can hardly find what we need in a lot of refrigerators. I don't know why we do that. Fear of lack, I guess. I don't know. We sure don't need all that. But Jesus is saying, I'm enough. I am enough. When the disciples saw that lack and scarcity, Jesus saw plenty, overflowing baskets, plenty. When the disciples were fearful, Jesus brought calm. When the disciples were tired and we're tired, Jesus says, come away with me to a quiet place and rest a while. And when we don't know how to proceed in the world, Jesus says, follow me. It's a take on the summary of the law that you see at the bottom of emails sometime. I know I have. You probably have too, that says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, change the world. It's possible. Let us pray. Oh God, who are beyond our imaginings and yet close as our breath, help us to gratefully receive the bread of life that is you, to see possibilities for healing in the midst of illness and comfort from fear, to find hope in the midst of devastating grief, to find optimism in the midst of tragedy, to believe that your power can heal broken relationships, to have the conviction that we really can end world hunger in our lifetime, that poverty can be overcome, that this earth can be restored, and to know without a doubt that your miracles make it so as you walk with us in the storms of life and guide us to safe land, saying, it is I. Do not be afraid. Amen.